말해 당은 가서 나좀 산지 좀 된지기 아니 말 아니 지게 아 냠네 제 아니 제바지 아니 냠네 제 나 콜위 동화되게 간 스팡 공부래 아니 동화 빵야라 탑이 냠네 간에 제고도 선제 되네게 제바지 제 차상 아니 간에 제고 차상 시시에 아니 산지 좀 된지기 냠네 나 냠제 나 아니 뭐 주바 高毛不接那点呢，三九国邦托，那点三九国邦托呢，讲俺是新疆他们这东华山的地级主义的，他不啷两年级他个人吧，俺爸都没法子送的，俺爹呢，俺爹爹那个电梯个南下送学去的，被马斯个电送学去的，爹那个电把拉南没把当，俺那几个俺是看病用的，拉南没把的，就是爹呢，咱俺是节日么些个，俺那。
Good morning. So yesterday we continued to look at the praise for dependence arising. And the verse we looked at yesterday afternoon, we saw that the being that wants to become Buddha Shakyamuni, he engaged in extensive analytical meditation in searching for what the root causes of suffering are, and the root causes that keep beings bound within the suffering states of samsara. And having come to realize that, through continued analysis, he investigated what are the solutions or the antidotes to our states of suffering. And through further training, he cultivated, strengthened those antidotes within his own continuum. And he trained like this for countless lifetimes, for eon after eon, all so that he could strengthen his virtuous qualities and eliminate his non-virtuous qualities in order to become a Buddha, to arise as a perfected being. And then, when he completed this journey, when he completed his path, and he attained the state of perfection, he then, motivated by love and compassion, conjoined with his omniscient wisdom, he gave innumerable teachings to beings in accordance with their own individual personalities, and thereby guided beings in terms of guiding them in recognizing the suffering's reality of samsara, what its causes are, and what the solution is, and moreover guided them in the cultivation of these minds of virtue, in guiding them to their own liberation. And Jerem Pichet, the author of our text, he came to see this through his own experience of dependence arising, and therefore he composed this text praising Buddha Shakyamuni for having taught dependence arising. I bow down to the unsurpassable teacher, the supreme omniscience, realized and taught the conquering dependence arising.
Mm. Dunro Suine, Arthur Dewa de Kuores, and Dunga de Kuores.
All of us here, all beings throughout the world, whether human or animal or any being, kind of being, we are the same in desiring happiness. And moreover, we the happiness we desire is a lasting, stable happiness, in that none of us wants to experience even a moment of pain or difficulty. And this is the same for all beings. And then through the presentation of dependence arising, we looked at that happiness only is achieved in dependence on causes and conditions. Happiness is not achieved through its own nature. It only comes about through accumulating the appropriate and causes completely. And similarly, all unwanted situations, all suffering situations, these two don't just come about, these come about also only in dependence on causes and conditions. So this one needs to gain great clarity on. When one gains certainty of this, then one will strive to accumulate the causes that lead to happiness, and one will ensure that one does not accumulate the causes that lead to suffering. Furthermore, yesterday, in the context of looking at dependence arising, we spoke about that in order to accumulate the causes for happiness and to eliminate previously or purify previously accumulated causes that only lead to suffering, one needs a suitable basis to be able to do so, because not all beings have the capacity to be able to engage in spiritual development. So the very best of bases is that of a human or of a god. So we have achieved a rebirth as a human in this life, and this has come about not causelessly, it didn't just happen, but it came about independence of causes and conditions that we ourselves accumulated in previous lifetimes. And to ensure that in our future lifetimes we continue to have a good rebirth such as we have now, that will only come about independence on us accumulating now those required causes and conditions. So the causes that we accumulated in the past need to be accumulated again, so that life after life we continue to have a basis such as this that is suitable to further our spiritual development. And the primary cause that leads to a rebirth in a happy migration as a human or a god is that of ethical conduct. And so the practice of ethics is developing an ethical outlook, an ethical attitude. So in meditation, we need to develop this mind of restraint And this mind of restraint is what is meant by ethics or ethical conduct. And the stronger we cultivate this in meditation, the more powerful this mind becomes within us, more pervasive it becomes within us, the stronger the causes we create for good rebirths in our future lives. Because it's through developing this mind of restraint that we don't that not only is our mind restrained, but so too our physical activities and our resulting verbal activities. So this is the primary cause that leads to a good rebirth. But in to ensure that our rebirth is not only in a good realm, such as being a human, but that we have the other required circumstances so that we can wholeheartedly engage in spiritual development, we also need to create further conditions or causes in addition to cultivating an ethical outlook. So secondly then, the second cause to cultivate is that of generosity. So generosity is a mind, and a mind of wanting to give, a mind wanting to be of help to others, of service to others, of benefit to others. So this practice of generosity, again, is developing an outlook, at developing a mind. And this has the result, this is a cause that leads to a result of having favorable circumstances, whether material and otherwise, so that one can continue unhindered one's spiritual development. So here the practice of generosity is to develop an outlook of wanting to be of benefit to others, to aid others in accordance with our capacity, whether materially or through helping with our skills and our other qualities. Then the third cause to be cultivated is to cultivate the practice of patience, the mind of patience. So the practice of patience is developing a meditation and an outlook that remains undisturbed in the face of adversity. So the practice of patience is either in relation to having an undisturbed mind when others are giving us a hard time, or when due to our own inner turmoil, our mind stays undisturbed, naturally peaceful, loving, compassionate, and wise. So this mind of patience, we also need to cultivate in meditation. And in dependence on this cause, the result of having complete sense faculties, such as sight and hearing, comes about, as well as easily to be able to abide in harmony with others, to easily get on with others. So these are the results that follow from when come about in dependence on the cause of patience. And the fourth cause is that of joyous perseverance, the mind that takes delight in engaging in virtue. So this is a mind that delights about all the virtuous activities we are engaging in, such as meditation practice and being of benefit to others, as well as wanting to continue to accumulate such causes, wanting to achieve those results so that we can be of ever greater benefit to others. And in dependence on developing the mind of joyous perseverance, in our future lives, we will be naturally inclined towards virtue. We will naturally want to seek out the Dharma. We will naturally want to spiritually progress. So this mind of joyous perseverance, this leads to our virtue being accumulated in a very vast manner, and our outlook, our way of thinking, being naturally inclined to virtue. So these are the four causes that are required in order to achieve good rebirths in our future lives, not just a rebirth as a human, but also with all required conditions. And then fifthly, these need to be accompanied by prayer or by dedication of virtue. And here we make prayers that in all future rebirths, may we only attain rebirths that are conducive to rapid spiritual progression. May we be born as a human or a god, may we meet the Dharma, seek out the Dharma, and spend our lives engaged in cultivating good qualities within ourselves so that we can be of ever greater benefit to suffering beings.
Mm-hmm. Masiki Yahoo Chago, Karsene, Sosuki, Lunga, Yusum, Yugane, Shanda, Neva Chigi, Neva Chigme, Sempe, somewhat Dinish Town, and then I'm Chigi, Mahikone Shanda, Tisushi Mare, and then Gohata had a Junisha, and Lujukun, Kumako, Yala Sopata, and the Dinish Mumari, Mevanza, Dinigi Majabana, Sosuin, Diki Hungre, Shanda, and Kamati Marwa. अने चिक सोसुगे ता लू युगों ने जिम्बे न्यामने चेयो दो अने सोसुगे लुंगा यीसुम युगों ने शैले पेंबा काजे तुमने जिगिं सेबे सम्लो डोंयो दो अने देने के सोसुरांग के जिके न्यूबा युरी कले काशेले कब्रेलिया अने मिक्यो दिगले बेंजुए थोने रोबचेया ता अने काशेलिया जिके मेंजुए थोने Ini coba ini, ane misalnya tadi ini cik tunga saya, tang kanga saya, ni tiki orang ya, ane siapa lagi tiki orang ya, ane misalnya tadi ini susu, oh dia mesti ke mana tu ya, rawat sesang, ko pandai aku je, ko mesti sama sambo saya, ya aku tu saya, mesti ni ke susu cik siapa tu, ane susu ini, engkau lah lah cik, oh dah ini lekak cik pandai pun, dah aku pun saya sambil susu bawa ke ada, ini coba cik, ini ni, ini ni tu cik tu, ane cakap. 全部都要用过的，就是你那啥，金边人民的、苏州人民这边的，彻底的呢，这个让些人家啦，你去这边的，很多全部用过了哇。
So those practices, those four practices, the cultivation of those minds in meditation, lead to the ripening results in our future good rebirths. But the impact of those meditations or the results of those meditations aren't only experienced in future lives. Through transforming our way of thinking, through transforming our way of interacting with others and dealing with life's events, we experience tremendous benefits right now in this very life. So cultivating, for example, the attitude of an ethical attitude, a mind of restraint, a commitment not to bring harm to others, this strong wish within inside of ourselves not to add to the burden of suffering and pain that others experience. Having such an outlook, then no matter what one encounters, one will not speak to others, for example, in a harmful manner. One will not speak to others in an abusive manner. Similarly, in our physical behavior, this will be gentle, this will be restrained. We will ensure that our physical behavior does not bring any harm or add to others' difficulty. So through cultivating an ethical outlook, developing this mind, our mind immediately becomes more subdued, more gentle, softer, and our behavior follows as well. So this means we ourselves are more peaceful, and the impact that we have on others is also one of peace and one of gentleness. An accompanying meditation, that of generosity, the wish to give to others, the wish to be of benefit, to help others. As this mind grows within us, the wish to aid others, to alleviate their suffering, grows ever stronger. And then, with such an outlook, our minds again becomes more spacious, more gentle, calmer. And where we have capacity, we will help others. We will alleviate the burden of suffering that often overwhelms others. And this can be acted out on through, for example, helping those who are impoverished, helping those who are in need in other ways. So we can practice material generosity, one will willingly want to, but moreover, one will also want to help others through one's way of speaking. One's way of speaking will always be directed to bringing benefit to others, to alleviating suffering of others. And in this way, we practice generosity, helping others through giving advice, for example. And then also whatever other skills and abilities one has, one will use these to help others in difficulty. So through developing these minds of ethics and generosity, the result is we become more gentle, our mind becomes more spacious and calm, and to others, we form closer relationships through bringing benefits into their lives and not adding to the current burden of difficulty. And this leads to also a great sense of inner confidence within oneself. As we see through our own endeavors, we are changing our outlook. We are dealing with life's difficulties and problems so much better, so much more skillfully than we were before. And this is coming about not magically, not causelessly, but independent on our own meditations, independent on our own endeavors. Now we can look at something new. So we can look at the second verse. Whatever problems there are in the world have ignorance as their root. You taught dependent arising, the seeing of which refutes ignorance.
So you have to understand this verse, we need,
in the context of dependent arising, we look at a stream of results that come about independence on particular causes. But first of all, we need to understand what is meant by suffering briefly and happiness. So happiness is a state of peace, a mind that is undisturbed, calm, spacious and gentle. This is happiness. Whenever that is disturbed, we are suffering. So the first step here is to come to understand with great clarity what is meant by suffering, not just in the coarse, obvious manner that all beings, whether humans or animals, understand, but the suffering, the subtler levels of mental disturbance that is meant by suffering. Independence on understanding what is meant by suffering and having come to see how it pervades our experience, then in dependence on that understanding, we will naturally think, what is the cause of this suffering? So in dependence on coming to understand how suffering pervades the experience of ordinary beings, we'll in dependence on that, we'll want to know what the cause of our suffering is. Then in dependence on having come to investigate and see with certainty what the cause of our suffering is, then in dependence on that, and naturally the wish will arise, I want to eliminate that cause, I want to destroy the cause of suffering, so that I no longer have to ever experience suffering again, but my mind can be permanently, can be continuously in a state of peace, a state undisturbed by any suffering at all. And then, having given rise now, in dependence on that investigation, to the wish to eliminate the cause of our suffering, we'll seek out what is the method, how to do so. And in dependence on coming to know, to understand with clarity the method to eliminate the cause of our suffering, we will naturally be inclined to want to apply this in meditation, to cultivate this mind in meditation repeatedly over a sustained period. So here there's this a stream of dependency, that in dependence on coming to understand suffering and how it pervades our experience, we will seek out, we want to understand what the cause of that is. In dependence on that, we'll want to understand how that can be eliminated, and in dependence on that, we'll strive to do so. This process that has just been described is not something that is unique to the Buddha Dhamma, but we have experience of it in the world as well. So for example, in dependence on feeling unwell, we go to a doctor. And then we go to the doctor, and in dependence on us being there, he will ask us a number of questions, and through this process, possibly with other analysis, will come to identify our illness. And in dependence on prior analysis by researchers and scientists, we'll be able to identify the cause of our illness. In dependence on the doctor analyzing or identifying the cause of our illness, medication will be prescribed. In dependence on the doctor's prescription and our trust in the doctor, we will follow their advice, and we will take that medication, perhaps change our lifestyle, whatever is advised, and we will follow that advice. In dependence on doing so, a result follows, and that is we heal and we're happy again. So this relationship of dependency, from a cause comes a result, and then that result becomes a cause for a further result. This is something we experience, we have a lot of experience of in our daily lives too.
Tada denigi membi gi nazuya de gudi yakwa ha mogo ene tine jigi me ode digi dagi dami osen be tikte ya di dami osen be tin men dama de nazu du de ni ga yoro wa tada denigi ji nazi gi gu yo ye gi gudi yakwa ha mogo che ani men dama de ne nazu du de yo gore tada di na nga tu gi nazu yo ye gu se bu yakwa ho ne de le men de ta ta de nazu ta su gu ro wa
In this illustration with this chain of dependency, that independence on coming to understand a cause, then a result follows, and that result then becomes a cause for a further result, there are some steps which are particularly important, and one of them is to identify with great certainty the cause. Because if the doctor misdiagnoses the patient, the doctor is likely then to prescribe medication that is not appropriate, that is not suitable to heal the patient. And then, in dependence on this misdiagnosis, then a not beneficial prescription is given. And in dependence on following that prescription, the patient may even get iller, their situation may worsen. Or if the doctor is not particularly skilled and gives very strange advice and says, oh, your illness, what to do about this, maybe just have a few more drinks, maybe smoke some cigarettes or even take drugs, well, that advice is certainly not going to help, but it's just going to make things much worse. So it's crucial that the cause is clearly identified. In independence on the correct diagnosis, then the prescription is likely to have benefits. So looking now at the first line, whatever problems there are in the world. So this first line then we use as a basis for the first step of meditation. We need to gain clear understanding about suffering. We need to understand the suffering states of cyclic existence. So the easiest way to start with this is to observe from on the basis of our own personal experience and also what we observe in this world. So from the world we can see in our communities people who are experiencing tremendous difficulties through watching the news or reading about the news. We can see tremendous difficulties that beings are experiencing throughout the world. We probably, none of us have direct experience of living in a place of warfare, but there are many beings who are living in grave danger and with that tremendous fear and suffering of living in a war zone or being even a participant in such violence. There are also many beings who are suffering directly from illness or their loved ones are suffering from illness. And perhaps they're living in a developed country and have access to excellent health care, but still they have the tremendous fear of death or disability. And there are others in this world who are suffering with similar diseases, but either they are too impoverished to access such health care, or in their countries, health care that can treat them just is not available. And furthermore, we can reflect about the various mental sufferings that people experience, whether it's depression or just merely unhappiness, whatever degree on that scale. There's so much anxiety and unhappiness on the mental level as well. And then furthermore, we can observe through what's happening in terms of climate change, the tremendous difficulties that people are experiencing through their homes and their livelihoods being destroyed overnight. So we reflecting in this way, we can see the very manifest and apparent sufferings that humans are experiencing. And if you think about the situation of animals, their situation is certainly no better. They lack the capacity, the mental capacity, to be able to adequately solve whatever problems they have. And all animals live under the constant fear of the potential of being apprehended by a predator and eaten alive by a predator. And this and other sufferings animals experience as well. Also in terms of the bushfires that we see in this country, many beings are dying awful deaths in those situations. So the first line refers to the need to come to understand the varieties of sufferings that it pervade our experience in the world.
So
all these sufferings that we observe, whether they are on the very coarse level like in these illustrations or on subtler levels, none of them just come about. Every single one of them comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. Every single one. When we gain certainty of that, then naturally in dependence on that certainty, the wish arises to know what is the cause of all the suffering. And in terms of most of these situations, we can identify the causes that these problems come from. But if we go to a deeper level, a level beyond what one can just observe directly, the primary cause for all the suffering situations that beings experience is contaminated karma that has been accumulated by afflicted minds or destructive emotions. The primary cause of all suffering is contaminated karma and afflicted minds. So what are these afflicted minds? Well, there are a vast variety, but some that we would be most familiar with would be minds such as anger, minds such as attachment, minds such as ignorance, minds such as pride, as jealousy, and so forth. And we can see, we have experience of the impact of these minds because it's through the minds, the dominance in the, of these minds, that beings engage in activities that explicitly bring harm. When someone's angry and acts out on this anger, they speak to others in an unhelpful way. They speak to others in a harsh and an abusive way. And if they physically act under the influence of anger, they may even kill others. And under the mind of attachment, when this mind of attachment is strong, then people take advantage of others. To ensure that they get what they desire, they will use others, they will abuse others, they will even steal from others. So these are illustrations that are easy to understand about how our afflicted minds, these bring harm.
Kong Nibe samba ji, samba ji wangu shu cherje kondo di wangu di, di ji ne, bende, nyeke, jala di beje jup, jup. Dene beje jup chane, dene maha jia, ngoso lakhlen ta, dene nyeshi maha jia ta, dene tone ganga yoba tinga zu, dene maha ta, ji ngolo jab ji maha jia la sopa ta, dene mi ji ki, chanshe tone ji mada dab suya ta, menda jab ji mi mongo deb suya ta ya ta, ji chasan, kunungar, jala kunungar yorsene,
To understand then the role that these afflicted minds play in causing suffering, well, there's an abundance of examples that we can see in this very life. So this mind of anger, the stronger this is, well, with any mind, the stronger it is within oneself, the more likely one is to act under the influence of that mind, whether it's virtuous or not virtuous, and more, the stronger the resulting action will be. So this is the case with all minds, and it's certainly the case with anger. So where people their minds are overwhelmed by anger, where the anger is strong, then this leads to them acting under this influence, under the influence of this mind, causing great harm to others. So if we think on a perhaps a geopolitical scale, warfare that exists between nations, or civil war within nations, or acts of terrorism, these are all acts that have been motivated by a mind and a mind of anger. So it's through having very strong anger and hatred, then such activities appear as reasonable and justified to the perpetrator. And in a moment, through warfare, lives of so many beings are destroyed. And even those who aren't killed, their homes and their livelihood is lost. The ability of families to care for each other, to protect each other, is lost. The ability of communities to help each other is lost, just through moments of warfare, let alone when it rages for years. And similarly the case with terrorism, where we see many examples of that, whether in our own country or in the news, where people just in a moment, from either we've seen with shooting from a car or using a car as an instrument to kill, in no time at all can completely destroy lives. And all of this behavior doesn't happen causelessly. It's motivated by a mind, and in particular this mind of anger. We start with the illustration of the mind of anger and the harm that comes from it, because this is so easy to see. And we use the illustration of warfare, because again, it's easy to see. But we have experience of this in our own lives, and likewise with this mind of attachment. This mind of attachment, or desire, it's easy to think that, oh, this isn't as bad. But again, when this mind is strong, when it's dominant, then it's much more likely one will act under it, and the resulting activity will be that much stronger. And we can, if we want to be clear on the harm that comes from this mind of attachment or desire, we think of how leaders in society, perhaps in business leaders or political leaders, with a desire for profit, for wealth, for power, for influence, under this mind of desire, this mind of attachment for profit, wealth, and influence, have caused such great environmental damage. And this was perhaps done unknowingly initially, but that certainly isn't the case. But still, for this desire for profit, for power and influence, the environment continues to be destroyed. And in other circumstances, for example, when products are developed, but they are not, the effects of those products, perhaps chemicals or pharmaceuticals, are not adequately investigated, then harmful, unwanted results follow. Maybe unforeseen, but they are unforeseen because of the desire of attachment, the mind of attachment, wanting profits, wanting power and influence. And similarly, we see this with the impact on our through lobbying, where organizations try to limit the impact of laws which should protect society, all so that their business group can continue to make profits, continue to gain ever more wealth. So these are illustrations that through the afflicted mind of attachment, one brings great harm to others. As was mentioned a few segments previously, all suffering in this world, whether physical or mental, comes about independent on causes and conditions. And if we analyze those causes and conditions, we're looking here right now at afflicted minds. It's from these afflicted minds that all physical suffering, such as illness, all mental suffering comes from. So let's think of our unhappy states. So when our mind is unhappy, whether it's at one end of the scale, such as depression, or whether just we're feeling a bit down or annoyed or frustrated, wherever within that, whenever our mind is not in a peaceful, calm, gentle state, but rather in an unhappy state, we need to investigate the cause that has led to this result. And our unhappiness has come about in dependence on a cause. And we need to identify that. And in general, when we identify, when we look for the cause, the place to look is at our own desires, our own wishes, our own attachments not being fulfilled. So much of our mental unhappiness comes about independence on our desires not being fulfilled, something that we long for not being fulfilled, a wish of ours not being fulfilled. From this, varying degrees of unhappiness comes, again from slight frustration or annoyance to depression. And the companion to this cause that of our wishes not being fulfilled, is what we don't wish for, encountering that. So these are two which have a close relationship. Either what we wish for not being fulfilled, or what we don't wish for that being fulfilled. So this is where we meet undesired situations. We come into, we're in a situation we don't want to be in or with. We meet someone that we don't want to be with. And this then too leads to varying degrees of unhappiness. And from these situations, very easily, from this our wishes not being fulfilled, or what we don't wish for, encountering, anger is very likely to arise, or to lesser degrees of frustration and annoyance. But we see this is how most of our mental unhappiness comes about. And certainly, and to give an illustration, if we meet someone who is angry with us, then this is an unwanted situation we have now encountered, and therefore we are likely to also respond with anger. So these two causes use to look at to use first to identify the cause of our current or whenever we are unhappy, use these two as a first point of reference. What's crucial to gain certainty of is that all problems and difficulties not only come about in dependence on causes and conditions, but those causes are our way of thinking. It's our way of thinking, not the event that is causing us problems. So the illustrations which can make it very clear is if it rains particularly hard, then usually we don't enjoy it when it's raining hard. But some kids, they think that's fantastic. I can go play in the rain and splash around in the mud, and they will have a great time. They may come into the house a bit filthy, but they've had a fun time in the rain. So they are enjoying themselves very much. Others not so. The situation's the same. It's how one thinks about it. Similarly, in the blazing heat of summer, one can either be complaining because it is so hot and one has no energy, Or again, children will probably see, wow, today's hot, how fantastic, I'm going swimming. And they will have a fantastic day in the summer's heat. So the event's no different, but the way of relating to it is, and therefore our mental state is very different. So those illustrations are easy to understand, and we need to take that and think about situations in our own lives and what we observe in the world. And we think of context of those in business, or the relationships between nations, or within families, or between friends. Whenever there are problems between nations, or family and friends, or within business, this comes about due to the ways of thinking. And invariably it comes down to people not being in harmony. So whilst, if there is conflict between nations, then this comes down to those leaders not being in harmony. Because of not being in harmony, their problems cannot be resolved. This is the case also in business, in family and friends, because where we see that others are getting in the way of our desires, that is when we become unhappy and we act in a way that causes disharmony, that brings about problems to others. So in the business perspective, when others are getting in the way of our profit, then this causes us to act in a way that brings harm to others. Or in terms of if our prestige, our reputation is being damaged by others, this too then leads to us acting in a way that brings harm. Where we also see this in society, and we all have experience, is where we have a particular a philosophical view, and we hold to this, we believe in this. So this we can think of in the political environment or a social environment. We have views which are very heartfelt to us. So we can think of whether they are gender-based or race-based or to do with economics. We have views which we believe very strongly in. And when others have an opposing view, we look at our reaction and we see independence on our view being challenged, our view not being accepted, the strong emotion arising, any mental peace that we had being lost. Seeing others, whether we are in the same family or the same community, we now perceive them in a very harsh light. All this comes about due to a way of thinking that is not skillful, a way of thinking that is mistaken.
강아 세에들이야 가르매 봐서 그래 다시 대샤 콘도 뉴모 매봐서 그래 지난 니유 자위 다시 말이 봐내 봐서 그래 니시 그래다 네
그래서 되니 그냥 직항 니퍼 식빈페
에 지엘라 메데 랍디로다 예 되네 로션 줄에 뒤에 자와 말이 봐서 저와 지난 예수기 뉴모 봐지게 대위 유 동안에서 유도하지 뇽모 빨리 거래디 뒤에 뇽모 버티디 자와 말이 빠들이 그래서 뒤에 자와 말이 뒤에 세지 말이 빠들이 거래시야.
So we've spoken about the need to come to understand suffering and its, how it pervades our experiences on coarse and subtle levels, and that the suffering only comes about in dependence on causes and conditions. And those causes are primarily karma and afflicted emotions. And there is these afflicted emotions, these afflicted minds. There's a vast array, and we've spoken about anger and attachment, and there's also ignorance and jealousy and pride and so forth. So all of these afflicted minds which lead to our suffering, these come about, have one root cause. And that root cause is identified in the second line here. Have ignorance as the root cause. So whatever problems there are in the world, have ignorance as their root. So what is meant by ignorance? So in general, ignorance is a not knowing or a confusion. So that would be what is generally meant by ignorance, and there are many kinds of ignorance. But here, when we're talking about the root cause of all problems in the world, we're referring to one particular type of ignorance. And this is the ignorance of self-grasping, or it can be called the ignorance of true grasping. So these are just synonyms, the ignorance of self-grasping, the ignorance of true grasping. So what does this term mean? In brief, it means that one is ignorant about the actual reality of phenomena. One is ignorant about the actual reality of phenomena. So what is phenomena? So phenomena, a synonym for phenomena, is an existence, anything that exists. So that can be something out in the external world, but it also refers to our inner world, such as our various minds. So mind of anger, mind of attachment, these are all existence, they're all phenomena. So phenomena has a very broad meaning, it's anything that exists. So ignorance is a mind, and it relates to everything, to all existent phenomena. What one is ignorant about is phenomena, whether phenomena is something external or internal, such as other minds, or our sense of self. Or whatever phenomenon one is thinking of appears to the mind. Whatever phenomena, so if we're thinking about the self, we're thinking about a mind, we're investigating the mind, or we're thinking about something external, that appears to the mind. Then the problem with ignorance is that the way that the phenomenon appears, the mind of ignorance believes that the phenomenon exists exactly as it appears. It believes that this appearance is unmistaken. So we have here the term is ignorance of self-grasping or ignorance of true grasping. This is the root of all suffering. So the mind of the verb of grasping is what the mind of ignorance does. The mind of ignorance grasps at the phenomenon as existing in the way that it appears. Or instead of grasping, we could say believing. It believes that the phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. But grasping shows the strength, so it's holding on to this belief that the phenomenon exists in the way that it appears. And therefore, this mind of ignorance believes that what appears is true. So therefore it's called the ignorance of true grasping. It believes that what appears to it is true. It's in accordance with reality. What appears is correct. And then from this mind of ignorance, which is actually mistaken in that phenomena do not exist in the way that they appear, but it believes that this appearance is unmistaken, from this comes attachment, comes anger, and all the other afflictions. There's this stream of dependency, that independence on this mind of ignorance, which believes that phenomena exist exactly, precisely as it appears, in dependence on that, comes anger, comes attachment, comes pride. When one needs to come to understand this process of dependency, understand the role that this root cause plays, so one needs to come to understand this with great clarity, and in dependence on this certainty that it's this ignorance of self-grasping that leads to all our suffering, in dependence on that, the wish will arise to find out how to eliminate this cause of our suffering, to be freed of the cause of all our suffering, and thereby never to suffer again. And this then brings us to the next two lines. You taught dependent arising, the seeing of which refutes ignorance. So having identified the ignorance of self-grasping and having meditated on it a lot so that one understands clearly with certainty that this is the cause of our suffering, then the Buddha, who not only taught that the ignorance is the cause of our suffering, the Buddha also taught the method to eliminate it, that it can be destroyed, and how to do so. So the mind of ignorance of self-grasping is the root cause of all our suffering. To destroy that, one needs to cultivate an opposing mind, a mind that is completely the opposite to that. Independence on developing a cause that is the antidote to the cause of our suffering, we can destroy the cause of our suffering. And what is a mind that's completely contrary to ignorance? It's a mind of wisdom. So there are many kinds of wisdoms, and there are many kinds of ignorance. But just like we talked about one type of a specific type of ignorance, here one refers to a specific type of wisdom. And this is a wisdom that realizes the actual way that phenomena exist, whereas the ignorance is mistaken, is wrong about how phenomena exist. And this wisdom, if it is developed, it completely eradicates the ignorance. So how does one go by doing so? Through meditating on the presentation of dependent arising. Through coming to understand in ever finer detail how phenomena truly exist, through coming to understand dependent arising in all its subtleties, one strengthens one's wisdom. And in dependence on this wisdom, one completely eliminates ignorance. So this too was taught by Buddha Shakyamuni. And that's who this verse refers to here with you. So you, Buddha Shakyamuni, taught dependent arising, the seeing or the realizing of which refutes ignorance.
Samlo,
Hopefully in this presentation thus far, it's been clear that the cause of all our suffering, all our anguish, comes about independent on our way of thinking. Minds, when the mind of attachment arises, we are suffering. When desire or attachment arises in us, we are suffering. Likewise with pride and jealousy, ignorance, all of these afflicted minds only cause suffering and pain. And that's just their mere arising. When we act out under the influence, our suffering increases and we bring suffering into the lives of others too. So as the cause of all our suffering is our way of thinking, these afflicted minds, the solution to this, the way to resolve this, is through changing our way of thinking. That is the only solution, the only solution. To no longer be angry or have attachment or pride, we can't rely on any material object. We can't go into the shop and buy something to completely eliminate our anger or our attachment. And we can't even rely on the government to pass a law. There's no way other than changing our way of thinking that we can gain freedom from anger and attachment and jealousy and pride and so forth. And the way to gain freedom from these afflicted minds is to develop minds that are completely the opposite to them. So one that's easier to understand is a mind that is opposite to anger is a mind of love. If a mind of love is strong and dominant within one, one's not going to get angry. The stronger the love is within us, the weaker the anger is within us. The less likely anger is to arise, and the weaker it will be when it does. So there's a scale, we can understand this through thinking of a scale. The stronger the virtuous mind in this illustration of love is, then the proportionately the weaker the mind of anger is. And so this process here of changing, or the need to change our mind, we can also understand it through our everyday life. If one wants to get fit, then the way to get fit is to train our bodies. Merely developing the wish or changing our diet, these things help, but the primary thing we have to do is train our body. That's how we get fit. So similarly, if we identify with clarity that it's our way of thinking that causes our suffering, then that is what we need to change. And when we have investigated further and we've gained gain certainty that it's ignorance, the ignorance of self-grasping, that leads to all the afflictions such as anger and attachment. We all know that that is what we need to destroy. And then, through engaging in meditation repeatedly over a sustained period, slowly this mind of wisdom starts to grow in strength. And then, with the analogy of scales, as the wisdom grows in strength, our currently very strong ignorance, this weakens. And as our mind of ignorance weakens in dependence on the growing mind of wisdom, the various afflictions that come from the ignorance, these too weaken. And then slowly, as we continue to meditate over time, our wisdom grows, our ignorance decreases, and our afflictions become less frequent, less dominant, and when they do arise, are much weaker and much more easily to much easier to transform. So this process of dependency continues here. Now, through cultivating our wisdom repeatedly over a sustained period, all these minds which bring cause so much suffering and pain to us and to others, they proportionately weaken. Having identified that our suffering comes from our afflicted minds, and that these afflicted minds come from a root cause that is the ignorance of self-grasping, then this ignorance of self-grasping needs to be eliminated, but in order to eliminate it, we need to understand what this is. Because invariably, this is something we never think about. We're not even aware that we have this ignorance that grasps at the self as existing in the way that it appears. This is not something that generally we talk about or think about, but that is the root cause of all our suffering. This mind of ignorance that believes that our sense of self-identity, or the way that the self appears to us, that exists in this way. So we need to investigate to see, firstly, how the self appears, and then secondly, if the way that it appears is how it exists or not. So this afternoon, we will talk through this meditation in some detail, but now it's time to have lunch, hopefully a delicious lunch. So in preparation for this afternoon's talk, then whilst you're walking from here to where we have lunch, then be aware, I'm walking somewhere. So with the sense of self that we have, where is this? What is it based on? When you're sitting at lunch, and then we're eating our lunch, and think, there's a sense of self, the self that's sitting here, the self that is eating this food. How does this appear to us? Or if we're hopefully enjoying the lunch, then think, the self that is enjoying the lunch, how does it appear to me? What is this self? Is it my physical body that I'm identifying as the self that is walking, or that is sitting, or is eating, or is enjoying the food? Or is it a mind, and if so, what kind of mind, or which mind? So between now and our next class, then if you can give some analysis to this, then you've done your preparation for our talk this afternoon. Then thank you very much. Thank you.